They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
In a bid to make the planet cooler, nations have warmed to an agreement. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for tuning in. After working overnight, we finally got an agreement from the UN's climate summit. COP28, which is being held in Dubai, has adopted the first ever call for the planet to transition away from fossil fuels. However, it did stop short of calling for a complete phase out. The summit's president, Sultan Al-Jaber, said the deal delivers a robust climate plan.
It is a plan that is led by the science. It is built on common ground. It is strengthened by full inclusivity, and it is reinforced by collaboration.
Sultan Al-Jaber there. The BBC's Justin Rowlett says that despite some criticism, the agreement is significant.
There have been 28 of these UN climate conferences over the last almost 30 years. Not a single one of them has directly addressed what needs to happen to the coal, oil and gas, the emissions of which are warming the planet. That is why the inclusion of a direct reference to fossil fuels really is significant, acknowledging for the first time that they are at the heart of the challenge the world faces. But some experts are saying this agreement is not enough to limit global temperatures to the target of 1.5 degrees Celsius that will avoid the worst impacts of climate change.
Justin Rowlett there. Now, Tom Rupert Carnac, he's a former political strategist for the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, and he says the subtle change in language is important.
All UN negotiations are incredibly frustrating and you never get everything you want. This one's been really tough. Saudi Arabia in particular just dug in and refused to countenance that language on phasing out or phasing down. So actually the compromise that's been reached is pretty impressive. Phasing out puts the emphasis on the producers of fossil fuels, transitioning away, and this is actually indicated elsewhere in the text, is that this is the responsibility of everyone. We need to phase down the supply, but we also need to phase down the demand, and that's on every country in the world. So, I mean, this is, again, there are loopholes elsewhere, but this feels like a landing ground that worked. The transitioning away from fossil fuels in energy systems is also an interesting phrase. Not much oil is actually used in producing electricity. So if the way that this is interpreted, and some people will certainly be interpreted like this, is that it's only to do with electricity generation, then it leaves open the big loophole of using it for transportation.
That was Tom Rupert Carnac. Now, let's do the numbers. Sterling weakened 0.3% against the dollar to $1.25, and London's FTSE 100 index opened with a slight increase, all in response to the surprising contraction of the UK economy in October. Meanwhile, European stocks are steady as investors look ahead to interest rate decisions from the Fed, European Central Bank and the Bank of England. Argentina has just slashed the value of its currency, the peso, by half as President Javier Milei aims to address the nation's economic challenges. Here's the BBC's Katie Watson.
Javier Milei said Argentina needed shock therapy to fix its financial woes, and his economy minister, Luis Caputo, seems set on delivering it. Mr. Milei has already halved the number of ministries and cut staff in government departments, and his team also announced the end of subsidies across several different sectors. The IMF, to which Argentina is heavily indebted, has praised the measures as bold, saying it'll help improve public finances and stabilise the economy. But while this was a much-awaited package of measures, the government has warned the effects will be painful for Argentina before things start to improve.
Katie Watson there. 3 days of voting have ended in Egypt's presidential election, and it looks like Abdel Fattah el-Sisi will likely win a third term. Three other candidates are in the race, but they're not well known. Egypt has been going through tough economic times. President Sisi's supporters are trying to say that under him, things will be stable and positive. But Nadia, a 57-year-old mother of six who lives in the country's capital, Cairo, says price rises have had such an impact she hasn't been able to afford meat for 3 years.
Cooking a meal used to cost £60 or £70. Now it costs between £300 and £500. Sometimes I'm too scared to go to bed because I know that the next morning prices will go up. We don't have a future. It's swallowed up by price hikes. No one thinks of the poor. No one sees us.
I spoke to the BBC's Sally Nabil in Cairo about how important the economic crisis is to voters.
It's the biggest election issue. If you go out in the street and ask the people about anything, they will definitely complain about their dire living conditions that have been going from bad to worse over the past few years. Inflation rates are unprecedented. The government is speaking of nearly 38%. And all the people here know that real figures are much, much higher than that. So a lot of people are really struggling to make ends meet. The Egyptian pound since last March has lost more than 50% of its value against the US dollar. In my lifetime, I haven't heard about a black market for foreign currency, but for these days, now we have a very flourishing black market for foreign currency.
So the government, have they taken any measures to address this economic downturn?
They say that they are trying to attract foreign investment. They say that they have already invested heavily in social welfare programs. There are a lot of statements put out by the government blaming the whole economic crisis on global reasons like the coronavirus pandemic, like the Ukraine war. But if you come to the people and ask them, they would blame the government policies.
Sally Nabil there. Results from the elections are expected on Monday. And finally, are you up to your eyes in Christmas party invites? Well, declining invitations is often perceived as more offensive than it actually is, according to a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. So no, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go to that work Christmas party. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.